Praise the Lord. Christianity is like that. So sometimes your prayer life can be okay, your giving life can be okay, but the problem is you are not walking in love. Are you with me? Sometimes you are walking in love, giving is okay, you know the plan of God, but it may be a demonic attack. Are you following me? And so, when a person has gained mastery of this system, to get divine direction, those of you who have been coming, you know that Newbridge is a school. Jesus. You know, one of the reasons why I take teaching very serious is because there are many people, no matter how much they are prayed for, if they don't understand how God functions, they will never be able to walk in the fullness of God's plan. And I'm telling you, I keep giving this particular testimony. There are so many testimonies, but I keep giving this particular one. Because when it was shared with me, I said, hey, you know, which one will I give now? It's about someone listening to the teaching. I was talking about how God leads by the inward witness. And she was saying she does not understand. What are they talking about? Then she went to work one day. And she used to work at the Ports Authority, the Nigerian Ports Authority, NPA. And there is a particular document vendors have to sign with her before they get to bring goods for the office. She said that day, as the vendor brought the goods, something within her just said, she felt like something was saying, don't sign it. But everything looked okay. Are you with me? Everything looked okay. And so she signed it. Later, her boss came and was reviewing the vouchers that were signed for the day. And saw that one and said, ha! This is a fake person. This person is a fraud. Why did you sign it? She said, I did not know it's a fraud. He said, this thing can get all of us sacked. This thing you did can get all of us sacked. So he tore it. He said, I will tear it and pretend like it never happened. Then she came back for service, and while the teaching was going on, she was like, oh, this is what pastor has been saying. One of the guys who bought by her, he was talking to me. He said, after yesterday's service, or after Thursday's service, he was in the service. Powerful move of God, powerful teaching. And then he was going back home. You know, when I thought about visions, and many of you started seeing visions. So he said he was going back home. It was as if a vision just came up in his face that when you get back home, before you enter your house, lift up check the corner of your door and lift up anything there. So he was like, it's not just my mind. But you see, when you have been trained spiritually, your spirit man becomes alert. I'm telling you. And so he got there and said, you know what? I will try this thing. Only to lift up the things that were there, and there was a snake waiting for him. Now, I've told you the wrong ones. I will tell you about the good ones. We have had people who applied for a job. They applied. And they told them, no vacancy. And they were in a service, hearing the word of God. And while hearing the word of God, in their spirits, they got the witness, go back and apply again after 1 year. Go back and apply to that same place. Only for them to go there and apply. And the person said, that job you're applying for is not available, but there's another one that is open. And the lady shared with me that when she was applying for it, that was the actual one she wanted, but she didn't see the vacancy there. So they now told her that one you really wanted is now available. Do you want it? Take. Where was it when the teaching came? Listen, believers, take the word of God serious. Tell your neighbor, take the word of God serious. We've seen many testimonies, but the one that touches me the most are the ones that are responses to the word of God. So what I want to talk about, even if you have the leading of the Spirit, there must be something else you must have. It's called bravery. Say after me, bravery. Say after me again, bravery. This is not motivational. I'm not teaching you motivation. I'm teaching you spiritual law, bravery. Because you can have divine direction and you are not brave enough to follow it. Hey, God. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? You can have divine direction and you are not brave enough to follow it. There are many things that you know God has put in your heart that if you did this thing when it came, by now you will not be where you are. Are you with me? Oh my God. Bravery. I remember when God, it was clear I had to face ministry. Hey God. Almost, let's put it like this, 90% of the people I spoke to, they said, please don't. There were some of them were begging me, say, please, I beg you, don't. One told me, you want to waste your engineering. By the grace of God, I'm not a novice. We're not doing this work because we did not have anything to do. I was an oil and gas well test engineer. If you know what that means. I was a well test engineer. I worked on the Omok fields. Many of the fields in Agip, I worked there. Let me just stop there. So many of them were begging me. You know, one of them asked me, like, of all things to do as a young person, like, asked me, she said, wait, of all things to do is to be a pastor. I said, what do you want me to do? God has told me to do this. He said, how do you know God has called you? I said, when I've been working with God, God has been speaking to me. I got born again August 2005. I've been working with God. When I mean I got born again August 2005, I did not mean that's when I started going to church. I mean that is when I started taking, that's when I became serious. Because it's about going to church. I was born into church. Like, they gave birth to me today. Tomorrow, they carried me to church. But you need bravery. Let me show you something. Why this is important. Another word for bravery is grit. Guts. The ability to do what others call impossible. The ability to take bold steps. Exodus 13 verse 17. Exodus 13 verse 17. This is the reason why I want to show you what I want to show you. It's important. And it came to pass when God had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Wait. Although that was what? Near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Oh, that means the children of Israel did not need to spend 40 years on their way to Egypt. So it was not that God was keeping them for 40 years. God saw their heart and saw that they do not have what it takes to go on the speed lane. So he led them to a longer route. This thing is serious. Are you following me? That means delay in some people's life is not God's fault. It is that if God brings speed, he knows they are not ready. Hey God. I remember when we did our first billboard, somebody walked up to me and said, this small boy. I said, no. He said, churches of 15, 20 years are doing billboard. You say you are doing billboard too. I said, God said we should do billboard. As long as you're allowing your life to be limited by your age, you will always be limited. Are you with me? When I was getting married, they said, you want to get married? I remember going to meet the marriage counselor. He just burst into laugh. I said, I'm getting married, sir. When I met my father-in-law, he first of all laughed. I said, I want to marry your daughter. He just laughed. I said, bring list. That time you are taking to play around and waste around, if you start early, are you with me? Take what I'm saying serious. See, a young man, you want to test this soup, you want to do this work, you will be testing soup. 45, you never marry. By 45, my daughter should be how old, safe? me and my daughter will be gisting. We'll be riding bicycle together. They will think I'm my boyfriend. Tell your neighbor bravery. There are some of you, God has given you, I came to stir up that passion to become all that God has said you should be. He has given you divine ideas. He has given you divine opportunities. He has given you the drive. Get it done. Tell your neighbor, get it done. Start that business. Start that company. God said, if I take these people through the shorter route, meaning if I open a door for speed, they will turn back. They will turn back. So people think, pastor, it's not true. Some people, see, I will thank God we are talking about it. They are easily impressionable in the sense they come around people who seem to be high class and already they just believe, I'm nothing. Who said you are? Who said you are nothing? We're going for evangelism one day. I told one of our guys, go and share tracts. And there were some men with Jeeps, Lexus, Range Rover. And you are sharing tracts and doing like this. You want someone to believe the gospel and you're about... I said, stop that. Square up. Don't be rude, but be bold. Not because you saw a car. Because of Jeep, you cannot preach the gospel again. Don't you know who sent you? The king sent you now. The ancient of days sent you now. Then they would say, when we started, they say, is it not children church? I say, children church. No, children church. No, it's not. We're not children church. We didn't come to play. The Bible says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. So that means if you're an example, men will not despise you. If you can demonstrate exemplary living, exemplary leadership, they will not despise you. Are you following me? This may not be for everybody, but God that is pushing me to talk about it is for somebody. Praise God. So, how do you build this bravery that Pastor David is talking about? Or, let me put it like this. Why do people struggle with bravery? And how do you deal with it? Number one, they struggle with bravery because of what I can call the burden of pursuits. Certainly the burden of pursuits. Deuteronomy chapter 2 from verse 3. It says, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Then he jumps to verse 24. Verse 24. Everybody read. Rise up. Yeah, rise ye up. Take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. I thought you just said you have given me. Why do I need to contend with him? That's the problem. See, for the fact God has said you will become, if you don't fight, you may not become. If you don't fight, see, you have to get to a point where you tell yourself, I have compassed this mountain long enough. Are you with me? God said, I have given you the land, though, but begin to contend with him. And let's read it again. Let's read it again. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. There will be challenges, but contend. Contend. If God has said I should go, oh my God. When we started, God called me. I can talk about that call from now till tomorrow. It's written all over us that it's not us that sent us. There was a day we hanged the banner outside. We just hanged the banner. A woman and a child was passing. The child stopped and started screaming, Mommy, see Jesus. So we thought maybe that's coincidence. The next day, another parent was passing again with the child. The child stopped there and said, Mommy, see Jesus. The third one was more hysterical. The child shouted and shouted. They had to come inside the school, the premises. And there's also a school here. They actually now enrolled the child in the school. Say, this school that they have, my son is always shouting, see Jesus, let me put him there. Upon all that, you know, 3 days before New Bridge started, a man came to the compound where we're going to start. He said, who is this pastor? He stood on the road and prophesied for almost 2 hours. Say, thus says the Lord, this shall happen in the next 3 years. This shall happen in the next. He talk. There's so much I can talk about the call from now to tomorrow. Yet, there were times when we started. You know, I shared something yesterday. The first, after our inaugural service, one of the next services, we have only four people in the place. And I prayed all night, prayed. Faster than prayed for the people. Oh God, change their lives, let them be delivered, let them be healed. As they come, they will be transformed. I came like this, the chairs were more chairs to be transformed than the human beings. So while praying in the service and looking at all the empty chairs, first of all, I was the only one in the service. I was praying. I felt a man touch me. I opened my eyes and there was nobody. It was a real, very tangible touch. And there was nobody. I could feel like God telling me, I'm with you. Be encouraged. So I kept on praying. Then my wife walked in the service. Good morning, Pastor. I said, good morning. Pastor Wisdom walked in. Then Brother Isaac walked in. Then Mr. Barango walked in. And we had our service. Isaac, that was his first service. And I will not say I will preach like I'm preaching to 4 people. The preaching, I preached my spirit out that day. Hey, God. So much of that, by the time we are done, everybody was on the floor. The power of God, everybody was on the floor. Somebody took that recording and listened to it later. He's part of our Abuja church now. He said he had a chronic disease up until that time. He listened to that sermon and that disease disappeared forever. So now, if you were not told that there were 4 people in that service, are you with me? Some people, they're just easily, they meet just one challenge and they just, that's what it be. They just meet one small challenge and say, I know my own no good. That's my life. I know. He says, contend. Contend with him in battle. Tell your neighbor, contend. Contend. The burden of pursuit. And sometimes the burden of pursuit comes with responsibility, work. Let me tell you, you have to make up your mind that you will embrace work early. God worked for 6 days, rested on 1 day. That means, first of all, work comes before rest. Are you with me? Look at the ratio of work to rest. 6 to 1. Embrace work. Embrace duty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see, visions are like children. They are conceived in the place of ecstatic pleasure, but they are bettered in the place of pressure. Are you with me? There must be some pushing. You push. In fact, if you are not under pressure, it's proof that there is nothing inside of you to push. Oh my God. The kind of pressure you are fully feeling at any point in your life is a testament of how much is inside of you to push. Praise the Lord. Embrace work. Embrace the discipline of labor. Embrace it. Embrace it. What do I know I need to do for my future? Start pounding it every day. Pounding it. This is a good time to hear this. It's 1st of September, right? Oh, businesswoman. The business is not working. Okay. You are not having customers. Wake up in the morning and pray. Pray. When you have prayed and prayed, go out, print, go to Cybercafe and print Even if it's with Microsoft Word, type, I sell chim chim. And print 10,000 of it. Go to the entire estate and give everybody, I sell chim chim. Some people look at it, what are you saying? One day, I'm telling you, if you put your phone number there, somebody will come and order 20 chim chim. No, you think it's a joke? Has it not happened to you before where you desperately needed something and you were on a particular street, you came out and nobody was selling it? And you were like, can't somebody just think of selling this thing? Can't somebody just have a shop here and sell this thing? Has it happened to you before? That means for the fact people don't acknowledge you now does not mean they will not eventually need you. Just keep at it. Embrace duty. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straightened? There is a way you will give yourself to the work and give yourself to the process. When somebody looks at you, they know, even if he's young, he knows what he's doing. There were many people who I preached to in this city, when I was giving them tracts, they were smoking and looking at me. They are members of this church now. I'm telling you. They are members of the church. When I first gave them the tract, they said, what's this? Oh, God, leave us. Embrace duty. Look at David. Part of what prepared him for Goliath was the lion and the bear he dealt with in the wilderness. So embrace process. That time that you are in the process where they are forging you, where they are stressing you, see, you are becoming better. You are becoming stronger. There was a time I was part of a ministry, we used to call it Teenage Forum, those days, many years ago. A time came where all the leaders just disappeared. They abandoned everything for me. And I was not even a leader, because you have to be an adult to be a leader. It was people from the adult church that were leaders. So me, I was also part of the teenagers. But I will come for the meetings and see all of them playing. They're just working. I said, no, they cannot just be scattered like that. I said, all of you come. We are all of you come. I will start teaching. They will ask questions. They ask questions with the plan to confuse you, the teacher. I will study. You know, when coming back the other day with some of our leaders, when we dropped the guest minister gave me a book that I gave him some years ago. The book was dated August 15th, 2013. That's when I bought the book and read it. A leadership classic, John C. Maxwell. When the person saw the book, he said, Pastor David, you don't tell. I said, I know I'm young, but we have mileage. There are books that are written 2008. There are books, I read God's Generals 2008. 2007, 2008, that's when I read God's Generals, Robert Sliadon. Tell anybody the burden of pursuit. Pursue. Let me tell you, as long as a man is pursuing, eventually he will come out. Eventually he will emerge. I'm telling you, eventually he will emerge. Just keep on pursuing. You will emerge. I said you will emerge. In the name of Jesus. Number two, reason why many people struggle with bravery, approval addiction. They want everybody to like them. Imagine if David, when he went to the battlefield, went and told his brothers, should I fight Goliath? Kai, I just wanted to ask you, should I fight this guy? Tinku, just tell me. You know Shammah, Eliab. Then by the time they are done with him, they will remove out every ounce of confidence and faith within him. Approval addiction. Of course, there are people in your life that must approve of you before you move. Are you with me? There are people that must give you their blessing before you move. But not everybody will give you their blessing. Oh, I'm telling you, there was a man I met. He told me, you are wrong. He said, I heard you had, I was already scheduled to do masters in Newcastle University, United Kingdom. But the scholarship I was about to get did not work. He said, I heard you had scholarship to do in United Kingdom. You have left that one now to come and do ministry. He said, you are wrong, oh. He said, he told me you will suffer. But you know when somebody is talking and you can feel the Holy Ghost within you telling you, no. No, sir. No. 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 I could feel the Holy Ghost saying, no. Then I left him. 3 years later, he came to this company and said, I see explosion. I said, you are seeing well. Yes, you are seeing well. You are seeing well. Say, I see explosion. It's coming. I said, you are correct. That's the word of the Lord. I wanted to tell him before that. That word you said was not the word. Approval addiction. Sometimes people will not, they will not like you. So you cannot live your life to please people. Are you with me? Like for instance, yesterday, when we were falling under the power, during the week, when people were just falling under power and all of that, some people were just acting like, what is that? What, you better receive what you help your destiny. I will not be addicted to people's approval. Amen. Number three, how to deal with the struggle for bravery is deal with the fear of defeat. Sometimes it is better you fail than you not act at all. Sometimes it is better you failed, than you did nothing at all. Some people used to say a ship is safe on land, but that's not what it was created for. As long as a ship will stay on land, it will forever be safe. It can only capsize when it goes into the sea. But as long as it's on land, it will never fulfill what it was made for. You know, there's a story that always touches me when I think about this. In 2 Kings chapter 7, Elisha, the prophet, had been in Israel and there was famine. And why was there famine? There was famine because the Syrian army came and encamped around all of Israel, and they did not allow food coming. Nobody could sell, nobody could buy, nobody could go in, nobody could come out. And so everybody was stranded. And there were 4 lepers who were outside the gate. They were outside the city walls somewhere. And usually in Israel, when you are a leper, you won't be allowed to even mingle. In fact, when they see you, they can kill you. If you show up, they can kill you. So at a point, they looked at the way they were going, and the 4 lepers said, why sit we here till we die? 2 Kings chapter 7, let's look at it briefly. From verse 3. You know why I'm teaching this? I saw the way our services went during the conference. Almost every day was a power service. Who remembers? Both yesterday, day before yesterday, from Wednesday, the Holy Ghost was move of the Spirit. Amen. Glory! But you see, if the Holy Ghost can be so mighty upon you, if you don't know this, it will be dumb inside. It will just be there. Are you following this? Like play. 5 years have come and gone. If they told me that time, 3 days to church, Pastor Fierce, remember, we will carry chairs on our head, arrange the chairs, find one curtain. I just went to a room, found one pink curtain. Pink and red, mixed it and just took somewhere. You know, part of people's problems, they're waiting for everything to be perfect first. They don't know that it only gets better with time. It gets better with time. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 3. The Bible says, and there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? There are some of you, God is asking you that question. You say your life is like this. You say there is nothing working. You say your life is upside down. And God is asking you, why sit you here until you die? Why are you sitting down and just doing nothing and saying, you know, I don't want to fail, I don't want to try it, you know. Why sit we here until we die? Verse 4. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they said, okay, if we go into Israel, there is famine. If we come outside, the Syrians are there. If we even stay here, we will still die. Okay, let's just go. Anyone that happens, we will move. Are you with me? Let me tell you something. See, If you're going to make progress, a time will come in your life, you tell yourself, no matter what happens, I will move. No matter what happens, I will move. See, no wonder the Bible says, it shall come to pass. Meaning, it will come and it will pass. Oh, it will come and it will pass. There was a day, oh my God, I came to church, opened church, and discovered that robbers had raided our church. Our screens, they had collected. Our church laptop, the only church laptop that we use all the faith and power and glory and anointing in this world to buy, they stole it. You know when? It's like they just emptied the church. People came and stole from church and emptied the church. You know what? I just sat down on the floor and started crying. All the other leaders came. We all sat down and just started crying. You know when? You have gathered. No, you don't understand. No, I know you don't understand. Some people can understand, but I think we have a lot of fresh guys here. People, you know, like those days in school, there was a guy that was crying, I lost my laptop, and we're saying, oh God, you'll find a new laptop. Why we're still praying for him? His parents just came with a black Jeep, brought out a brand new pack of laptop and gave him. I just said, I was wasting my time praying for you. Let me go and pray for people that need this prayer, not you. We are still there. We are still praying. Oh God, let him find the laptop. We just saw Jeep with escort. So the prayer was not needed for that kind of guy. Me, my laptop lost. Fasting don't start. Eh? Fasting has start. I just said, the guy, you're blessed. Let's go and pray for other people. So that day, what did not cross my mind? All the TV screens gone. Church laptop gone. This one gone. The people there, oh my God. In fact, we're thinking we'll not hold service again. Let's not do anything again. Let's just. But what I thought to myself, it shall come to pass. Tell your neighbor, it shall come to pass. Tell somebody, it shall come to pass. That challenge will come and it will pass. The one you are facing right now, it will pass. Amen. I thought you would say a louder amen. Amen. Don't worry, the people that are mocking you right now. Oh, look at her. He says he's going to church. When will she get married? By the time you are pregnant, you just walk like this to your front. Good afternoon, ma. How are you doing? By now you're with your ring, you say... My taxi is the other side. It shall come to pass. What if you have the mindset when you face something, your mind's all over, this thing, where will I go from here? See, just tell yourself, it will pass. Praise the Lord. That same year that they stole those things, that was when we got our first diesel generator. That same year, that was when we got this LED screen. That same year. You are doing business. You will have to wake up in the morning and look at this business. You will prosper. This business, you will go around the world. I will have offices in Johannesburg. I will have offices in Brazil. I will have offices in the Philippines. I will have offices in New York. Are you with me? This scarcity will come to pass. Am I talking to you?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, go back to that story. Let's finish that story. It says, if we enter into the city, then the family is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now, therefore, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Verse 5. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. They got there and there was nobody in the camp. For look, everybody read verse 6.
Oh,
Start again. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Verse 7. And wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses. Look at God. You want to flee, you left your horse. You want to run, you left your horse. And their asses and their camp, and it was and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, and they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried their silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered another tent. A time came, they said, this one we are enjoying like this, let us go and tell the city that there is food. Many times people are waiting for God, but God is waiting for them. Why was it the time when the lepers decided to walk and just go and die? That was when the Syrians heard the voice of chariots and the noise of a great host. It was that God was waiting for men to move and then he will multiply their efforts. He was waiting for them to move and he will multiply their steps. That thing you are looking at, that, oh, I may fail. What if you don't fail? Hey! Say after me, I will not fail. What if I don't get any customer? You will get a customer. What if I don't get any client? You will get a client. God will multiply your steps. I pray for you, your steps are multiplied. Your labor is multiplied. Your efforts are multiplied. When you put one, God will make it come to 1,000. In the name of Jesus. Glory. When we started having services here, in that classroom, we'll be praying. After a while, people will come and meet me. Said, are you Pastor David? I said, yes. Said, one woman met me. Said, you've been coming to my dream to pray for me every night for the past 3 weeks. I said, eh. Because I was not used to that kind of thing. See, I've been seeing you in my dream. You've been praying for me. I've gone to, oh my God. I remember when I invited somebody, he knows me, my growing up and all of that. He said, all these pastors, don't come and ask us for money. And I vowed I will never go and meet anybody and say, please, we are stranded, help us. Never. Then I will see somebody call me. He said, you came to my dream, prayed for me. And God said, that pastor that prayed for you in the dream, you be a partner to that church. I'm telling you. Again and again and again and again. We have had cases where in the night, 12 midnight, somebody came and was banging the gates of this compound. Bam, 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 bam. Where is the account number of this compound? People ran out. I said, what's the problem? He said, I want the account number of this church. I want the account number of this church. I'm supposed to be a partner to this church. God will multiply your efforts. I said, God will multiply your efforts. The fear of defeat. And even if you tried and you failed, stand up again. Hey, when you hear the story of Samson, everybody talks about the fact that, oh, Samson failed God. He went out with Delilah and missed everything. But they forget that even at Samson's death, God will still hurt Samson. Hey, even if you are fallen, stand up again. Even at Samson's death, with no eyes, God heard him and his hair began to grow again. Don't fear failure. You are greater than it. Are you with me? You know, when Peter was about to step out of the boat, he said, if it is you, come. Bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. You know, like I popularly say, Peter did not walk on water, he walked on calm. He walked on calm. When sometimes you are full of doubt, go and pray again. Lord, are you the one? Let's ask God straight questions. Lord, this thing, are you the one? Are you the one? Lord, open a door. If you are the one, will beat me. Show me the way. Just show me the way. If it is you, bid me to come. And Peter came and walked on the water. And then, When he began to walk on water, he began to look at the wind and the wave. Let me tell you something. If you will be brave, you have to focus more on God's ability than your own limitation. Focus more on God's ability than your own liability. Focus more on God. This sermon will not be complete if I don't talk about children of Israel. No, I need to talk about them. Numbers 13. They told you this is the promised land. Oh, yeah, go and enter. The people went to spy the promised land. They saw all the giants and all of that. And they came back to cry to Moses. The 10 spies came back to cry. Numbers 13, verse 27. Shortly, I'll be rounding up. Are you blessed? Let me tell you, the people you admire many times, they are not better than you. Sometimes they may just be braver. While you are calculating, they have just said, let's go. They may just be braver. Hi, God. You know, a pastor was talking to me. He was asking us about the church in Abuja. He said, where are you using? I said, we're using Silverbed Cinemas Central Business District. He just looked at me and said, this guy, you're waiting till your heart. He said, of all places, now go, you go Central Business District in Abuja. I said, yes, now. Numbers 13, verse 27. It says, Numbers 13, verse 27. The Bible says, and they told him, and said, we came in unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and the coast of Jordan. So they were trying to tell Moses that look at all the terrible nations that dwell around this place and even inside this place. See, just forget about it. Have there been things you hear about and you just say forget about it? You just say, see, forget about it, forget about it. There's a venue we wanted to use one time. They told us 40 million. I just said, forget about it, forget about it. Forget about it, forget about it. At the point, a part of me is like, no, ask them again. If I tell you what we paid, you'll be angry. You say, oh, this life is like this. Yes. What we eventually paid? You know, even reach 8 million. You know, reach 7 million. But somebody will just hear it and run. Sometimes, just start small. Start small, small. Start small, small. You will not fail. Then look at verse 30. The Bible says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Everybody read verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for we are stronger than we. Now read verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched on the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Now, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. He says, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. It began with what they saw about themselves. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Then what was the consequence? And so we were in their sight. What you see about yourself will be what they will see about you. Oh my God. What you first of all have seen and said about yourself is what your challenge will see and say about you. If you say, this thing is bigger than us, your challenge will say, okay, I'm bigger than you. He says, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. That means when you see a challenge, before you bow, first of all, say, I'm stronger than you. I'm bigger than you. You know, one of the ways to deal with things like this is by meditation. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? It means that you will never be able to face a challenge that is bigger than what is inside of you.
Yes.
You know, yesterday, when Pastor TB was talking about largeness of heart, see, I'm trying to expand on that more, because sometimes the move of the Spirit requires faith, requires bravery. Let me tell you, if David did not take up that stone against Goliath, the Holy Ghost would not have directed the stone to the head of Goliath. Oh, you think it's just the stone? David used the stone and the sling and all of that, but the Holy Ghost did something that ensured that the stone of David killed Goliath. But you see, there was a man of bravery first. A man of bravery had to step out for the Holy Ghost to carry on. Sometimes the Holy Ghost is ready. He's waiting for a man to move. He's waiting for a man to move. He says, and so we were in their sight. And then you saw yourself as grasshoppers, and that's how they now saw you. But let's read on. Hey, Numbers 14. The Bible says in verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation, thank God, the Lord has reminded me. I said I would say this. I'm going to talk to a specific lady. You are here. In your mind, you keep telling yourself, I'm not beautiful. Let me tell you, if you keep telling yourself that, that's what people will say about you. Did you hear what I said? Have you not seen people where you cannot just explain? It's like they're just glowing. You look at them, it's like they're just shining. If you go around with that mindset, see my nose, like Momo. Say, this my head is long like a Oporio mango. If you keep carrying that mindset, that is how people will see you. But when you stand in front of the mirror, say, I am wonderfully made. Oh, yes. If you like, say, I'm too short, that's your problem. I am wonderfully made. Oh, if you like, say, I'm not handsome, that's your problem. I am handsome. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's... Because whatever I see and see about myself, that is what outsiders will see and say about me. It's a conditioning. Are you with me? Now, what I'm saying may sound like motivation. It's not. It's not. This is how God works. God wants to change Abraham, but God wants to change Abraham's story of barrenness, but God must change Abraham's mind about himself. He says, come, look to the stars. If you can number them, so shall your children be. Because God cannot do more than your heart can take. Oh, my God. This may sound like motivation, but it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. As long as you keep thinking, there's a class of people who are destined for this kind of thing. You know, people have those kind of thoughts. That some of us, we are not really for that level. It's not really for us. When you talk about it, we are not... No, you are there. You are there. You are there. Let me tell you, the Bible even calls this kind of thing strongholds. Mental strongholds. Strongholds in your mind. That condition you and keep you. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and people wept, and all children they murmured against Moses, and they were crying, let's go back to Egypt, and all of that. And all of that. And then Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, they were angry. The Bible, everybody read from verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Verse 7. And they spake unto the company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into this land. He will and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Hey! Tell me they are bread for us. He started declaring, their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. That's how to talk. Oh my God. Oh my God. You don't know the power of what I'm teaching you. You don't know the power of what I'm trying to show you. It's bread for us. My mother's sister told me that when I was in JS3, one day she came to the house and asked, what university do you want to go to? I said, Covenant University. And she said, it's not possible. You don't know what your mother is going through. I just laughed and went away. Do you know that as at then, I was not even born again. But she just said that that's what I said. And the spirit realm recorded it. Just recorded it. And when it was time to go to school, I've already got an admission to a polytechnic, and like I've always said, there's nothing wrong with it. And that day, I was just pulled. Go and see this man. You have stayed in his house for a while. Just go and greet him. And I went to greet him. Went to visit him and all of that. And he just looked at me and said, ah, where have you been? You've been on my mind since. In fact, what's your plan for school? I said, this is my plan. He said, have you ever heard of this school, Covenant? I said, then, I didn't know that I've made some declarations like that in the past, though. Like 3-4 years ago. I said, ah, sir, I've heard of that school. The school fees, they die. Oh. I never go keep it, sir. He said, I know, but that's why I'm asking you, what is your plan for school? He said, would you mind going there? I said, sir. You know, they asked Ezekiel, can this bone sleep? You say, Lord, thou know it. I said, sir, I don't know. He said, you know what, go and call your mother. By 8 a.m. the next day, I was on a plane going to that school. I've already entered when they told me the story that I was in JS3, and that's what I said. That means those careless statements that you are making. You know, Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So even when he was talking normally, it was still words of faith. Even when he was playing, don't allow anybody to play with you and say, ah, see this wawa girl. And you just be laughing with them. Stupid girl, look at you, fish. Don't let anybody call you fish again. See, Abobi, on well, see your head. See, you're a very stupid boy. Don't try it. I'm more than a conqueror. I conquer nations. I conquer cities. The greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. I am unstoppable. I am unstoppable. Glory! Are you with me? When you are, a time will come where you have been divinely programmed for bravery, even without your knowing. The things you call normal, others will be calling this guy. What is happening to this guy? Why are you like this? The things you will be doing your everyday, this guy, is he okay? No, we are not the same. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Finally, how do you activate this bravery? By the anointing of the Spirit. By the anointing of the Spirit. Do you know that it was after David was anointed king, that he came after Goliath? Everybody may have just seen a normal boy who came with catapult and stone, a sling and a stone, to face this great warrior called Goliath. But they did not know that he was anointed with oil. And what the anointing does is that it will stay within you. See, it makes you a different kind of person. Saul before, when he sees the prophets, he will go and hide. But after Saul was anointed as king of Israel, he saw the prophets and joined them and started prophesying. Sometimes, when the anointing is working within you, you will even make declarations and catch yourself after. The other day, I was talking in Abuja. I said, we're going to buy 1,000 hectares of land. Then they asked me, do you know what 1,000 hectares of land is? I said, I don't even know. Let's check. What is 1,000 hectares of land? Because capacity is inside. The anointing of the Spirit has activated something. You know, when the anointing comes upon you like that, even if you wanted to be small, it is too late. I used to tell our leaders, even if you wanted to fail, it is too late. It is too late. It is too late. You have been implicated for greatness. That you're hearing my voice right now, that mediocrity mindset is broken away. A time will come, you will even dress, look at your shoes, say, no, I cannot wear this. Ah, how will I just dress like this and go out? No. This cloth, you become a rag. No. Let me wear something else. No. The taker of nations does not come out like that. A king does not walk out like this. He says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us the spirit of timidity. That thing that beats you down, when you want to think about yourself, you only see your flaws. I take off that spirit in the name of Jesus. Some of you, the devil has brought you down by condemnation. Every single time you think about yourself, it is, I failed. I cannot. No. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power. The spirit that carries power.
One more thing. Learn to use your imagination. Oh, you have seen too many things go wrong. Now close your eyes and see it go well. Oh, Makatalia. See it go well. It's possible. You are not dreaming too much. It's possible. You are not dreaming too much. It's possible. Receive new sights.